And a Sunday night date with the Super Bowl champion.
Now, more of our Falcons game day coverage.
With Dukes and Bell, live from Signia by Hilton.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Happy Sunday, everybody, as we get ready for Sunday Night Football. It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9, The Game, hanging out at Signia by Hilton at The Nest. And Mike, we're sitting here. We got the games on the 1 o'clock window, guys. There are a few surprises, and we're just going to get you caught up on the scoreboard. One, this Philly game is interesting already. New Orleans only leads 3-0. But Jalen Hurts has 2 turnovers in this game.
Yeah, man. We talked about that big completion to Goddard, got him down in the red zone. Then he throws literally throws it right to Honey Badger. I mean, like right between the numbers. And then subsequently on another drive, he's on the other side of the 50, and he's carrying the football like a loaf of bread, gets tripped up. So that's 2 turnovers for Jalen Hurts. Derek Carr tries to convert on a big deep ball. They break that up. But just 3-0. The other story today in Pittsburgh was, is Justin Herbert going to play? He is. They get a touchdown drive from him. But the big story has been how effective Justin Fields has been in our former coach Arthur Smith's offense today.
He's at a like 90% clip. At one point, he was 10 for 10 in this game. And Mike said it. He's been on schedule, hitting guys in the hands. They're methodically moving the ball down the field. Score right now is Chargers up 10-7. But Fields is not hurting himself, Mike. With, you know, everybody keeps thinking at some point they're going to turn this job over right to Russell Wilson. I don't know if that happens, but he hasn't hurt himself today. Here's another surprise for you. Denver is up on the Bucks, 17-0 in Tampa.
Hey, Baker got any turnovers? Well, where's this coming from?
I don't know, and it's in the second quarter with about 6 minutes to play. I'll say this, Mike. You know, for Bo Nix, he has a rushing touchdown. He's already thrown 424 yards. But that might be a surprise of the day, because as well as the Bucks were playing, 17-0. And then Minnesota is up on the Texans, 14-0, at home against the Texans with about 8 minutes to play.
All right, man. So we think
in the second quarter, that is.
You think you've got your teams figured out, you know, because obviously we weren't as bad as week one against the Pittsburgh Steelers. And we basically had some great offense. Of course, nothing better than that two-minute drive that Kirk Cousins gave us. So are we going to see us balanced offensively the entire game, the run mix with the pass and the play action we've been looking to see? We know what the Chiefs are. We spent the first hour of the show here, guys, for a special edition of Dukes and Bell. If you're not used to us, hello. We're the number one sports talk show. We work 2 to 7. That's right, 5 hours. So today, 3 hours, I do that stat on my head. So we're doing 3 hours here at the Nest on the fourth floor at the Signia, overlooking Mercedes-Benz, unbelievable state-of-the-art, brand-new Hilton Hotel. So we're hanging out here talking about the Chiefs, a lot of Chiefs fans here. Quick question for you, Carl Dukes.
Yes, sir.
Who let the Saints fans in?
What?
What are the Saints fans doing here?
I mean, where are they? Boo!
I mean, I don't know if these guys are staying here all week.
This guy has a flag in his back pocket.
There's worse places you can hang your hat than right here at the Hilton.
But figures.
I mean, obviously they're excited about indoor plumbing and electricity, so they're excited to be here today. But Saints are hanging out with us. They'll be here next week taking on the Falcons. But they right now, they got a field goal.
Yeah.
But they got to capitalize on these Jalen Hurts turnovers. Eagles right now are back with the football deep in their own territory.
Yeah, Eagles defense held after that turnover. And listen, Jalen Hurts is killing his football team right now. I don't know how this game plays out, but you're right, Mike. I mean, the Saints have not capitalized whatsoever. Here's another surprise for you as we just get you caught up on the scores. Guys, coming up, we're going to talk to Mark Raimondi. He covers our Atlanta Falcons for ESPN.com, and we'll talk to him about tonight's matchup. The Green Bay Packers are leading the Titans 17-7. Mm. Will Levis has already thrown an interception in this game.
Yeah, he ain't it, is he?
He's not it, Mike. 7 of 10, 66 yards. But you do know who the quarterback for Green Bay is. Malik Willis.
Yes, kid out of Liberty back in the day.
Atlanta's own. He's from here. Only reason I'm bringing this up is because if Green Bay is able to sustain without Jordan Love, which they've done the last couple of weeks.
Matt LaFleur's a good coach. Finds a way.
Oh, man. This is going to be one of those things where you say, how good are the Green Bay Packers once they get Jordan Love back? But that's the score right now. Again, Titans down 17-7 in the second quarter of that game.
Yeah, man, I know for fantasy owners it's just so hard to try to see your team get into a rhythm. Obviously, you know, you're talking about Mike Evans and the Bucks. What's going on with Baker Mayfield today? I know the late games. We also had that double dip. You and I were talking about this during the commercial break. We had one of those double headers on why do they do that on Monday Night Football? What's the logic behind that?
Well, here's the deal, too. I mean, both of those games, for those of you who do not know this, one is on ESPN and one is on ABC.
Right.
Now, they have obviously all the rights to Monday Night Football, but Mike, you're splitting your audience, right? I guess they're trying to garner the biggest audience they can, because you're getting 4 markets to potentially pay attention. But one game starts at 7:30, the other game starts at 8:50. I do not like it. I've not been a big fan of it, but I guess from a TV standpoint, there's a real reason they do this, just to kind of corner the marketplace on a Monday night.
But we've got, of course, the biggest game on TV. The number one TV show in America is Sunday Night Football tonight. Obviously, the Chiefs, we know what they're bringing to the table. Certainly, you know, they don't have to have their A game to find a way to win. That's how good they are with Patrick Mahomes. We'd already talked about the things that they do, but both in the game plan and both through improvisation. How worried are you about Chris Jones tonight and Karlaftis getting after our boy Cousins?
Well, listen, Chris Jones for me is the best interior defensive lineman in football. It was Aaron Donald. And probably, you know, 3 years ago I started to make this turn where Chris Jones and he went through the negotiations, Mike, where, hey, remember, we forget the Chiefs, he had to go through some sitting out there a little bit and kind of negotiating with them, but they paid him and rightfully so. But I think he is just a disruptor. And that's the point I'm getting to. No one has been as disruptive, and you can go back to the Super Bowl at the end of that game when Chris Jones took the game over and basically won the game for the Chiefs. I am worried about him. But the thing is, we saw last week with these big boys like the Eagles up front, you got to go at them. You can't run away from him. Run the ball at him and make him laterally get up and down the line of scrimmage, Mike. Don't just make Kirk Cousins a sitting duck back there by having him in the pistol and allowing Chris Jones to get upfield.
And running right at these guys. I mean, traditionally, offensive coordinators will run right at those dudes. That's one of the things we didn't do against T.J. Watt. I think Zach Robinson, tough week all around. But, again, we flushed that one, and now we're hoping that we're more like what you saw in that game up in Philly. You mentioned the running back situation. Carson Steele, undrafted free agent. The blonde guy with the alligator, and then Pirine's backing him up, but not having Pacheco. I said to Carl earlier, I'm a little worried about Xavier Worthy just because of the speed element, but, you know, you could argue that they may just use their short passing game, because what Andy Reid does, it seems like it's forever, but it's their version of the West Coast offense. So just quick dump-offs and just basically the extension of the run game through the passing game.
No, it is, and I think the deal with Steele, you got to wrap him up tonight. Like he runs hard, okay? Kind of reminds me a little bit, and it's almost an insult because Mike Allstott was just a dude.
But he's a physical dude.
But he's physical. You got to wrap him up. You cannot arm tackle this guy. And so that is one of the things when I say who's going to step up in the run game, you think Pacheco runs hard. This kid runs hard too. So they may come out, Mike, and not you know, defer the fact that they feel like they can't run the football effectively. I think Andy Reid's going to try and see where that goes.
And on the flip side with us, I love the balance, I thought, last game against the Eagles with Algier and Bijan. You know, getting Algier the touches we want to see. And then
the
Bijan.
Balance.
Only thing missing is just Bijan getting in the end zone.
Yeah, he had 97 yards last week. I think he goes over 100. I do, because that's how committed they are to getting him the ball. Coming up next hour, I'm going to tell you, from an offensive standpoint, some of the things that I'm hearing about how they might attack this Chiefs defense, Mike. And I think we are going to be able to score points. They are vulnerable in the secondary of the Chiefs. How we do this is going to be the interesting part, meaning how do you create those matchups with motion and other things that Zach's going to attempt to do tonight. But I think we got a chance to score some points against this defense, especially on the back half.
Watching some of these 1 o'clock games, man, you know, it's funny. The Chargers immediately take on Jim Harbaugh's characteristics. They're tough, they're physical, they're running the football, speaking of high percentage plays. Herbert looks pretty good on that high ankle sprain. They're up on the Steelers right now. And it's just interesting because it was all this week and it was like a game time decision. Herbert looks fine to me, doesn't he?
No, he's listen, they're into the game now. For whatever pain he's going to feel, he'll feel it on the plane going
back. Ice it up, son. Shoot it up. And have another little shot there at halftime. But tonight, we are healthy, by the way. The injury report, we look good. We're clean.
Which is great news.
Right.
I mean, it's the one thing you have no control over. But you look at some of these teams who are already beat up. The Rams is an example of that. They get the 49ers today. That's a team that's just physically beat up. You're just trying to survive until you get some of your guys back. Mike, we've been really lucky, knock wood, that we haven't had to deal with any of that here in the first 2 weeks. If we are able to stay healthy, I'll take you guys back. 2016, one of the reasons why we go Super Bowl is because our offensive line, our starting line, didn't miss a game together. They started every game that season. And that continuity, Mike, you got to have it. And so when you start to have injuries, and we've seen it on the O-line, this is my concern with the Chiefs tonight.
Right.
You start to have these holes, and how do you fill them, and what do you do? And that's where the Chiefs are right now. Now, they have a quarterback that's good enough to try to overcome that himself. He's just that damn good. But I don't care what you say, man. It's still the NFL. And, Mike, if I know if that's a weakness, and I guarantee you Jimmy Lake knows what's going on with their offensive line, you got to find ways to adjust an attack. Move Matthew Judon around tonight, and let's get him going, man.
Grady Jarrett, Onyemata got the kind of like the veteran day off at Falcons camp. So for folks who are trying to make that, that doesn't look like it's a concern.
Nah.
Algier's been dealing with a hip injury, but it looks like he'll be good to go. We had talked about Nate Landman still banged up. But for the most part, this team is healthy. And now we're just waiting to see, as we said, can we be explosive for four quarters? Can we do the stuff we thought we were going to see in week one that we saw at times against the Eagles, you know, the run play, setting up the play action, and then can we get another Kyle Pitts touchdown? Can we get Kyle Pitts, like, you know, I don't know.
Come on, man.
What's the over-under on Kyle Pitts' yards today, by the way?
55 yards for Kyle Pitts.
All right.
55.
I guess I could probably go under on that.
No, and that's crazy, right?
I hope I'm wrong.
I know. Yeah, I'd say 55 yards. The touchdown thing, Mike, remember the one touchdown that he did get against the Steelers was a busted coverage.
Right.
That wasn't him necessarily. Sorry, Kyle, I know you might be on your way to down here to the stadium. He didn't beat his man. That wasn't him just flat out beating a guy. The coverage was busted, and Kirk was able to see it. I'll take a touchdown any way I can get it. But the point is, what you're looking for and what I'm looking for are those moments where he's just matched up. He goes and makes a play, Mike.
We just want to see him look like one of the best players, you know, at his position. You know, that's the thing. You know, we talked so much about, and you, if you're new to the show, it's Dukes and Bell. We're normally on Monday through Friday, 2 to 7. It was our special weekend edition here with Monday night, Sunday night football. But one of the things we've been on, you know, Kyle's case, it's not his fault. He didn't draft himself, but when you are drafted fourth overall, you're expected to be a rock star. And, you know, first year he was a 1,000-yard receiver, only one touchdown, and then the injuries, and he hasn't been the same guy. Last year, he's really 100%. So we're really looking to see him. And also, I think we're trying to find out what he does and what he is in a Zach Robinson offense. So far,
he's been blocking, he's been doing the things they're asking of him. Yeah, I when we say that, I mean, they're doing – it's hard for me to criticize him at this point only because what they're asking him to do, he's done a really good job of it. We're just being selfish as fans to say, I want to see more production from a explosive, exciting, elusive tight end. But he's doing what they're asking him to do, so I can't be mad at him from that standpoint. But, Mike, maybe tonight's his coming out party. Maybe tonight he has 100 yards and two touchdowns.
Well, I mean, one touchdown through two games. You know, we've talked about, you know, we set these like, sort of benchmarks back at camp at Falcons. And we were saying, hey, how about, you know, I don't care if he gets 1,000 yards. Give me those 8 touchdowns. Be that red zone weapon that we drafted you to be. And everyone expects you to be. So, again, you know, we love the guy, great energy, good dude, a family man. But he's got to produce, man, at the end of the day, it's results. And he has never so far lived up to being that fourth overall pick.
All right, Mark Raimondi is going to join us. We're going to talk to him about this matchup tonight. What concerns him? Do we have really any advantages when you start to look at these two teams? It's easy to say the Chiefs are the, you know, defending Super Bowl champs. They're better all the way around against the Falcons. I don't think that's the case.
Don't you just feel that after the Monday night game, as you said, a buzz around town,
yes,
buzz at Falcons headquarters, you just feel like, yes, we know what the Chiefs represent. We know what the matchup issues they bring. But you just feel when Cousins, and he's not even 100% yet, when Cousins can do what he did on Monday night, you feel like you got a puncher's chance in every game we're going to play this year.
Yeah, but I also –
and go deep with these guys, take it to the fourth quarter.
But I also think, and I will ask Mark this, there are some areas where I think we're better, just fundamentally better than the Chiefs. Doesn't mean we win the game, but, like, their offensive line is not better than our offensive line right now. It's just
good
not.
Point. It's a good one.
They're secondary. Their safeties are not better than our safeties right now.
You got the best. Look, on paper, in reality, on the field, you've already seen it. This is a guy, you know, because of his familiarity playing for the Broncos against the Chiefs, Justin Simmons has got more interceptions than anybody else against Patrick Mahomes with 5, Carl.
Yeah, I hope he gets another one tonight. He has familiarity there, and maybe that plays into our favor. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We're live again. Hilton, Signia, right downtown, right across from Mercedes-Benz Stadium on the fourth floor of the Nest, hanging out here until 4 o'clock, leading you into the Wade Ford tailgate show. Which gets you ready for tonight's matchup, and then we get into our Falcons pregame. By the way, Wes and Arch will have the call for you tonight.
Right.
They're going to do what they do every day, every year, every game. It's going to be a fun game.
And, man, of course, guys, it is Arthur Blank going up in the Ring of Honor. So, again, if you're trying to make that run to go get those free hot dogs, you might want to give Arthur his due when they have the presentation. How many Chiefs fans are going to go crazy on the free hot dogs tonight, by the way?
I don't know if they even know, Mike.
I mean, when we first opened the stadium in 17.
I don't think they know.
And those folks from Green Bay saw, I mean, remember we said this, Carl. $1.50 hot dogs?
Yeah.
Are they like cocktail wieners? No, Tommy, they're real size. Get 5 of them.
Full size.
Now, you thought these people had never seen food before.
Yeah.
Well, but anyway, tonight, the free hot dogs, free chips, and a free drink you get to refill. And it's basically as many times as you want to wait online for the food.
100,000 hot dogs have been ordered for tonight's game.
That's a lot of tube steaks, man.
It is. All right, Mark Raimondi is going to join us next here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Back to our Falcons game day coverage.
So now you got everything you want now.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Bell. Got to tell you guys, you know, I question Nick Sirianni's
brain power,
clock management, play calling last week. And you say, well, he's not calling the plays. He's the head coach. He hears everything on the headset. So he has a chance to say yay, nay, let's change that. So the Saints are leading the Eagles. We're going to talk to Mark Raimondi here in just a second. But the Saints are leading the Eagles, Mike, 3-0. And we just saw a sequence before the end of the half where Nick Sirianni, they could have ran the tush-push, got a first down. There was like 10 seconds left on the clock if you wanted to throw a Hail Mary. And instead they
run off tackle with Saquon Barkley.
Well, they run some blankety-blank play that just didn't work, and they don't get it. And the point is, like, this is the problem, Mike. They're trying to do too much. Anyways, we need the Eagles to beat the Saints.
Right.
Okay.
But look, it's going to happen. I mean, look, it's still only a 3-point game, but Jalen Hurts with two costly turnovers today for Philly.
It's crazy. All right, Mark, man, hope you're doing well. Mark Raimondi, he covers the Falcons for ESPN.com. We get a chance to see him up there at Flyer Branch every week. First of all, how you feeling, man, Sunday night? Mike and I were saying we got to pace ourselves. 8:20, it's a long time.
Long game.
I'm going to need some coffee, some energy drinks, got to stay hydrated, very important. Yep. But, you know, it's all right. It's prime time, 2 weeks in a row. We got this.
No doubt.
And, Mark, we talked about this, you know, all week, saw you up there at Flowery Branch. It's like week one, we were for prime time against the Steelers. And I think there's some things, if we took it back, that we'd probably approach differently. It just seems like, you know, the play action, the way he was able to get to the running back on the stretch run plays, Cousins showed you what I think fans were expecting week one.
Yeah, I mean, look, if we're being honest, they didn't play extremely well for the first, you know, 3.5-plus quarters on offense. They played fairly well at times, but they still didn't have a ton of flow in their offense until that final drive where, you know, Kirk Cousins became the Kirk Cousins that, you know, the team, you know, paid $180 million for over 4 years. So I think there's definitely still plenty to work on. I think you got to like what you see from the rushing attack. You know, Bijan Robinson played great. You know, even Tyler Allgeier played very well. And, you know, Cousins, I think, is still, you know, we've talked about this for the last few months, guys. This is a team that's probably not going to be peaking until closer to the middle of the season. You know, Kirk Cousins is coming off the torn Achilles. Okay, he's healthy, but what does that mean? You know, he's still not 100% comfortable. And he has said so. And that's okay. And that's just going to be the reality of the situation. And there's definitely room for improvement. And I think they will continue to improve.
How much do we stick to what was working last week, meaning the run game and what we saw with Bijan? Look, I don't go away from it. I think that's our identity, Mark. And going up against this Chiefs team and Chris Jones, one of the best defensive players in the league, you know, we saw our fair share of T.J. Watt. Jones is he's a game breaker like that as well. He can wreck a game for you. I say we still have to go at him like we did last week against the Eagles in that D-line.
I agree. I think the running game should absolutely be a featured part of this offense. Bijan Robinson is one of the most talented skill players in the NFL. I'll say that. I mean, he is a dynamic, explosive talent. You know, he's 23 years old. He's only going to get better from here. But I do think that if there is a chance for Kirk Cousins to kind of have, and I know it's crazy to say because it's the Kansas City Chiefs, but if you look at their first two games, I mean, the two worst teams as far as pass rush win rate of the last 2 weeks are playing tonight at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Falcons and the Kansas City Chiefs. Neither team is getting to the quarterback right now. And I think that could be an opportunity. You know, the offensive line looked really good last week. Chris Lindstrom played fantastic. And I think there could be an opportunity this week for Cousins to get time and find, you know, find his guys. I think Drake London, you know, you saw flashes. So I think maybe a big game is in store tonight. And if they're not getting to the quarterback, that could mean a more Kirk Cousins-like game for Kirk Cousins.
It's a Mark Raimondi, guys, from ESPN.com covering the Falcons here as we're live at the Nest on the fourth floor here, guys. It's Signia, amazing facility, beautiful Hilton Hotel right across from Mercedes-Benz here on Northside. The thing about, you mentioned Drake London, at the end of the game, after one of the greatest Falcon come-from-behind victories in franchise history, Kirk Cousins is just like, Yeah, I got to be better. I am. I miss Drake. I mean, it just makes you feel like he knows where he needs to be, and maybe we misunderstood that he's not 100% when he talked with Troy Aikman. He's not 100% being Kirk Cousins in his prime. But getting those guys the ball on schedule, the explosive plays, which we saw at the end of the game, you think we'll see those early in this game?
It's possible. It's possible. You can't manufacture, you know, that two-minute offense. You know, I mean, it's hard to do, right? The circumstances are very different. Defenses are going to be different. Coverages are going to be different. But I do think, again, I don't think this Kansas City Chiefs defense has not really lit the world on fire the last 2 weeks. And, you know, they haven't played all that well. I mean, even if you go back to last year, it's like they were the best team in the NFL, but they weren't dominant. You know, they were not this crushing team that killed everyone. They found ways to win. Like, they found ways to win, and they did that all the way to another championship. But, you know, the defense, I don't think this year is anything special, and it's an opportunity. You know, it's an opportunity. It's another primetime game. You know, the Falcons defense has played really well. You know, if they can keep Mahomes, and that's obviously not, you know, a tall order. They can keep him in check, and, you know, the running game, we don't even know what's going to be because they just lost their, you know, their best runner, Pacheco. You know, if the Falcons can keep, if the defense can keep the game at hand and keep the you know, the Falcons in the game, you know, the offense has a chance to win it.
It is Mark Raimondi, guys, as we talk about tonight's matchup. Chiefs in town for Sunday Night Football against the Falcons. Obviously, the Chiefs are going for an unprecedented 3 in a row. We know they can't do that right now. But, you know, this is part of the building process, right? And they're not playing their best football. Mark mentioned it in the first 2 weeks. I said, Mark, before you came on, I think there are two areas where we are simply better than they are. One is the back half of our defense with our safeties. The other is the O-line. Is there another area where you feel like we're just better than they are from a position standpoint or player standpoint?
Yeah, I mean, right now, a running back. Certainly a running back. You know, is it going to be Carson Steele out there? You know, the undrafted rookie. I mean, they lost Pacheco for a little bit now. That's definitely an area, I would say. You know, it's tough because when you have a guy like Patrick Mahomes, I mean, it's like he could almost win. I mean, it's an 11-on-11 game, right? But he's so good that he can win the game for you, and that's where it becomes very, very tricky because, you know, you could have a better unit than the Chiefs in every aspect. You're not going to have it at quarterback, but that person does not exist, and that's the game-changing position. So it's hard to say, but. I think this is a winnable game for the Falcons tonight. You know, I think, you know, when that was on the schedule in week three, it's like, and then even before last week, guys, it's like, oh man, if they don't beat the Eagles, oh boy, we're looking at 0-3. This is a winnable game for this team. It's a winnable game. It's going to be hard. It's a challenge, but it's a winnable game.
Right. I mean, it's Mark Raimondi from ESPN.com. It's funny because, you know, yeah, look, if T.J. Watt is, you know, was like Thor, he's an Avenger, okay, then he'd have 100 sacks. And you could, I mean, there are ways to game plan, and you got to execute. And that's the thing about Mahomes. I mean, nobody can look as bad as they did on Christmas week against the Raiders and come back, as we said, and just throw the switch. How do you, to your point, Mark, avoid that moment where, you know, Andy Reid draws up a great play, and all of a sudden now it's the improvisational thing? Do you just really have to stay with your receivers for that extra 5 seconds? They always find a way, Kelce especially. Or do you feel that maybe we'll try to blitz and be a little more aggressive and throw some other things at Patrick Mahomes? Because Simmons is familiar with him.
Yeah, I mean, so that's true. And Simmons has intercepted him more than anyone. And that's got to be a good sign. I mean, I think that, you know, so far – the Falcons secondary has played very well, you know, better than I think, you know, anyone could have predicted over the first two games. And there was an interesting stat that ESPN, you know, put out the other day. You know, the fewest yards after a catch, not just in the entire NFL this year, but going back after the first two games since 2010, the Pittsburgh Steelers, you know, only 2.8 yards after the catch. And, you know, I think that's a big key in tonight's game. You know, Mahomes is going to do his thing. He's going to find his receivers, but they have to be able to catch them before it turns into a big chunk play or worse. And I think that's a big key. The secondary has done well so far, and this is going to be their biggest test yet.
Mark, as far as, you know, Kyle Pitts, tell us what your impressions are. Mike and I were talking about him. Just specifically, I said he's doing everything they're asking him to do. He has a touchdown. But how do you feel about his play thus far? And what are you hearing from whether it's Zach or other folks around the team about where Kyle Pitts is right now?
Yeah, I think it's Kyle Pitts is kind of a funny case because he had that incredible rookie season, right? And everyone is kind of waiting for him to replicate that. Maybe that was a complete aberration. That doesn't mean Kyle Pitts is a bad player. That doesn't mean he's not even a very good player. He is. It's just a matter of where does he fit in this offense. And as you mentioned, he has done everything they've asked him, and his blocking has improved. I mean, I don't think there's any way around it. His blocking has improved. That's one of the things they wanted, and it's just a matter of him. It's hard to say after 2 weeks because, as we mentioned before, the offense has not clicked for most of the 8 quarters they've played, right?
Right.
And he did have a big play on that final drive last week in Philadelphia. He did
move
in his hometown.
Chains. Yeah.
Exactly. It was a big play. So it's hard to judge him based on how the offense has played over the first 2 weeks. The one thing you can say is his blocking has looked better, and he's caught a couple of timely passes. And I don't think you can – certainly you can't kill him for that, and I think that you've got to wait and see, where this goes. I mean, no one on the receiving core, London, Ray McLeod and Mooney are the two leading receivers right now for the Falcons.
Right.
So it's hard to say right now where they're at.
Mark Ramondi from ESPN, guys. We're live here at the Nest at Signia by Hilton here on Northside. The thing about this game, and you said it, we didn't know what a Zach Robinson offense was going to look like. We already talked about what happened with the Steelers. Maybe that was a byproduct of not really trusting Kirk Cousins being 100%. So then we're going to ask him to do some of the things he couldn't do just yet. But do you feel that us expecting this to look like Rams East Coast was wrong, and Zach's going to have his own? I mean, it really will be a unique take on the the Sean McVay plan.
I think so. I mean, I think he's his own man, right? I don't think he's just going to, be just try to take from their playbook, so to speak, as much as possible. I think he's a guy that, he was a quarterback himself. He was an analyst. He studied quarterbacks. He studied offenses. He's a guy that has a vast knowledge of the NFL on the offensive side of the ball. So I don't think just because he was with Sean McVay for a few years means he's going to be, a zombie for that type of, for that type of offense. I think he's going to adapt. And look, this is the NFL. You need to adapt to your personnel too. I mean, you need to adapt to your personnel. And I do think we'll see a little bit of the Sean McVay. We're seeing 11 personnel, certainly, quite a bit of that. And I think that will continue, but I think he's going to mix it up. And he's going to utilize, we're going to see more of a bigger running game than you would imagine, a McVay disciple might have with Bijan Robinson and Tyler Allgeier.
Mark, what happens tonight? Monday, are we talking about a dub? When we see you Wednesday, are we celebrating having beaten the Chiefs and moving on? Tell me what happens tonight. What do you think? I do agree we all feel like close game. What happens tonight?
Putting me on the spot. I do think it's a close game. It's a close game in the fourth quarter, and it's really hard to say. It's hard to say what happens. It's hard to make these predictions.
Say
the NFL, you guys are putting me on the spot here.
And we're not saying. Listen. We do talk radio. We're not asking you if you want the Falcons to win. That's a given.
Yeah, right.
What's your heart tell you? If it tells you, hey, Mahomes is going to find a way, say it. It's okay.
Say it.
I honestly just don't. I just don't know. It's week three. It's week three. You can't. We don't know anything about these teams yet. If we're being honest, I mean, it's just there's not enough. We don't have enough data on these teams yet to say for sure. We've seen the Falcons play well at times. We've seen them play not great on defense for, I would say, the majority of the time so far. What are we going to see tonight against probably a defense that's not as good as the last two they played? I don't know. Patrick Mahomes is a complete wild card, I will give you one prediction. I will give you guys one prediction. Sunday night.
All right, give it up.
Mercedes-Benz Stadium, week three, Kansas City Chiefs at the Atlanta Falcons. My prediction, Taylor Swift will be in the building.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I'm with you. That's going to happen.
Someone's going to dump a bucket of hot dogs on Taylor Swift.
Oh, stop it. Do not go there.
Hey, by the way, 40s.
And guys, two straight primetime games. Midnight has to become our afternoon. And I'll leave you with that.
And by the way, I'm going to press it even further. If you can't give me the win, give me the over. Over, under, because you mentioned both teams are not really effectively getting after the quarterback. Good offense.
What's the number?
46.5. You think it goes over, Mark? Like 27-21? That gets me to 48.
I have no idea, but you missed my Taylor Swift lyric reference. I mean, come on, guys. What are we doing here?
Dude, Carl was clowning me the other day. I don't even know. Carl goes, you know the song she sings. I go, I don't listen to Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
Carl goes, you'd know it if you heard it. I don't know.
If you heard it, you know.
I don't know.
Yeah.
56, man.
An American icon, according to Jimmy Lake, the defensive coordinator for the Atlanta Falcons.
He is right. There's no doubt. All right, man, we got to run. I know you're getting ready to come down here as well. And, hey, man, enjoy the game. We'll talk to you next week, Mark. Appreciate you as always.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
Thanks, man.
If Kelsey dated Lita Ford, I'd have a field of reference. You know what I mean? It's just I'm a heavy metal guy. You know what I mean?
Come That's even funny thinking about.
If Kelsey was dating Pat Benatar, maybe I'd know something about. I don't know.
Yeah. And by the way, I mean, listen, I don't start rumors. I just talk about them once they're out.
Right.
I think she's going to be here. Everybody's going to be here.
She's not on tour right now.
Well, yeah, we say that, and she'll be somewhere else. Who knows? Whatever happens as far as that's concerned, that will have no bearing on the game. Mike Tirico said this. They're going to show Taylor. It's not even a part of their broadcast conversation. They're going to show Taylor. It doesn't interrupt the game whatsoever.
I've said this before. Guys get hung up on this. Now, again, once you get into the political avenue, people are going to go into their corners. I get all that. But it's like when they cut away and you see somebody wearing a cheese head. Does that ruin your broadcast experience?
True.
3 seconds seeing some fat guy on TV as opposed to a beautiful woman up in the suite.
I agree, man. All right, we're live, guys. We are doing a live show. This is not recorded. If you're going Dukes and Bells on a Sunday, yes, we are.
Actually, this is all AI. This is not even us. This is all artificial intelligence.
That's coming soon. Don't push it. We are at the Nest, fourth floor of the Hilton Signia, right across the street from Mercedes-Benz. We got a lot more to get to. Coming up next hour, by the way, we're going to talk to our buddy Russell Baxter, NFL writer for Fanside. We'll get his take on this game and much more. We'll get you caught up on what's going on in the 1 o'clock window. Stay right there.
And Atlanta's going home with a W.
Our Falcons game day coverage rolls on.
Now, here's more Dukes and Bell.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Wow. What's up, man? Good to see you, brother. You too. Stukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9, The Game, saying hello to some folks that are down here at the Nest. I got to tell you, and I'm in shock right now. The Eagles have gone forward on 3 fourth downs. They have not gotten any of them, and they just went forward again on 4th and 3. Jalen Hurts gets sacked. Eagles are playing the Saints. We need the Eagles to beat the Saints because, again, common opponents. Later in the year, we'll see NFC, blah, blah, blah. But, wow, I am shocked. Eagles fans that are at that game in New Orleans are losing their minds. They are in field goal position, Mike. They decide to go for it again, and it just maybe we slapped them so hard they haven't woken up from last week.
Man, everybody's going bananas. By the way, before he walks out there, guys, give it up for Gerald Riggs. There goes former Falcon Gerald Riggs
in
the Ring of Honor.
Yes,
and
sir.
I was like, I go, come on. I go, you're coming on the show. He goes, you know my wife wants me to go now. So he's out the door, but just talking to Gerald during the commercial break. Again, all the Ring of Honor members will be there tonight as Arthur Blank is honored. But as we're hanging out, you're right, man, the bar was just going bananas. And Eagles fans on the Fox broadcast that are at the Superdome going, what are we blanking doing? So it's just, it's funny how when things start to go sideways, and we've seen this with the Falcons, when Dan Quinn would have those 5- and 6-game losing streaks, it's like bad things get their own inertia.
Correct.
And all of a sudden the Eagles now just, it's like everything snowballs and everything just compounds, and you go, what the hell are you guys doing?
Yeah, and by the way, these are not hard coaching decisions. We're talking about fundamental,
kick the field goal,
basic stuff.
You got a kicker that can hit it from anywhere in the field, tie the ball game, and let's go.
Yeah,
and
so,
trust your defense.
Now,
who's holding the Saints to 3 points?
Yeah, it's been crazy. and the way this game has played out again, turnover, go for it on fourth down, don't get it. The Saints haven't been able to do anything. But Mike and I are sitting here in amazement, like, man, these are just terrible decisions. Nick Sirianni is going to mess around, Mike, and get fired. He just is.
He is.
It's Dukes and Bell, man. We are going to go around the NFL with our buddy Russell Baxter coming up next hour. We just talked to Mark Raimondi, who covers the Falcons. We're down here at the Nest at the Hilton Signia, right downtown, guys. It's the hotel they built next to Mercedes-Benz Stadium. And a special broadcast as we lead into the Wade Ford tailgate show. Joe Patrick and John Fricke, right, coming up at 4 o'clock when we get done.
We were talking about it. I mean, it's beautiful, brand-new hotel, and it's got that new hotel feel. It's state-of-the-art. We were just saying, first thing I thought of when I rolled in is just what – is this place going to be like when the World Cup is here? And, you know, the big money's going to be staying up here because you're right there when your team's playing at Mercedes-Benz.
Sure.
The view's amazing. You got the skyline. We're, as you said, the Nest here on the fourth floor. It really is. It's just a beautiful spot. And hope we get to do some more stuff here around game day. This is tight.
Yeah, it is. We'll get more college football, should I say. We talked a little bit about what happened last night. Obviously, the big game this week. We'll get past tonight. Hopefully, we're talking about a win tomorrow on the show. By the way, 2 o'clock. We will be on right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, following up on a big Falcon Monday. But, Mike, next week, UGA and Alabama. And it's a huge game, man. 7 o'clock, I think 7:30 kickoff next week in Tuscaloosa. It's going to be unbelievable. Both teams have had a week to kind of reset and get prepared. They did not play this week, so I cannot wait. And we'll have, all the things next week. Kirby, we'll hear from all the players and whatnot. But I think, Mike, this is going to be a huge test for both teams. But I said this, and a guy hit us up. He says, you guys, you know, after yesterday, I'm watching these games. I still feel like Georgia's going to be the best team in the country. They may be, but they've had an Alabama problem.
Right. And certainly, Kalen DeBoer is his own coach. He's got his own scheme. But, you know, you just feel you're right, the boogeyman of just not being able to handle these guys in the SEC championship regular season. It is also interesting now how Tennessee has crept into the national championship conversation because, you know, with Nico Iamaleava, they got a tremendous quarterback. But the big thing now, and you saw it last night, is they got a defense. For years, Tennessee, I think, under Josh Heupel, you said, okay, yeah, you go up to Nashville, you go up to Knoxville, it's going to be tough. They're going to go up-tempo. They're going to have so many plays on offense. Can you handle their energy? But then you always felt like you were able to score some points. And in the case of, you know, Tennessee, now they got a defense that looks like it's, you know, I say as Kirby said, elite, but it's certainly the best defense that Tennessee's had in a long time.
Yeah, I just feel like they're going to be in games because their quarterback is that good. And, you know, even when Tennessee upset the Dogs, I think it was 2016, Mike, 2017, somewhere around there, the Hail Mary, remember? Joshua Dobbs, as a matter of fact, threw the Hail Mary. They weren't dynamic at quarterback. They had some really good pieces. This kid is different, man. Nico's 6'6". He's agile.
He's
fast. He has a great arm. And, again, I don't want to oversell it, but I just feel like he has the demeanor that can keep them in games. He didn't get too high or too low against Oklahoma, and Oklahoma had a really good defensive game plan against them last night.
I said, but you know what I'm saying? You always thought Tennessee under Heupel was finesse.
Yes.
You know, and now they've got some defense. They've got some punch on that side of the ball. We certainly feel that, you know, Alabama, look, going to Wisconsin, that's a nice and impressive victory in and of itself. The team which, and this is outside of the SEC, which I'm looking at and saying, man, they finally got the right guy. They've always had decent recruits. They've gone through so many coaches. How many prodigal sons has the Miami, the U, gone through? And now with Cam Ward, man, he was just lighting up USFF. So you want to get into comparable opponents.
Three touchdowns.
You know, Alabama, their front seven gives Alabama some fits, but, man, they just lit them up in that second half. And Miami really looks good. Clemson just smoked NC State. And, you know, Dabo's probably saying to his alumni going, you want me in the portal? Look at Florida State. That's when portal goes wrong, right?
Well, do you look at Clemson now and say they just weren't ready week one? Like Georgia just blew doors, and maybe they weren't ready, but they've regrouped. They certainly look like they've been coached up.
They're clean. Remember how sloppy they were, all the penalties at Mercedes-Benz and Labor Day?
And that's what I'm saying, Mike. Maybe all of the stuff that plagued them in week one against Georgia, they've been able to fix and clean up, and maybe they're a much better football team than we assumed they would be. I will say this. I don't think anybody's beaten Miami. I don't think anybody in the ACC has beaten Miami this year.
They look real.
So,
and remember, Florida State put a whooping on them 2 years ago at the Hard Rock. I got a bad feeling about some payback coming for the Noles. Noles, by the way, get their first win. They just can't score. And, you know, on the opposite end of Cam Ward and, you know, Nico Iamaleava, you got, you know, DJU. And DJU is the same DJU. He's just a dude. He can make an amazing play. Carl, he throws this beautiful touch ball down. I mean, beautiful. I mean, bomb in the end zone. And then he'll miss the basic stuff.
Yeah.
It's the most. And FSU's got a major culture issue. So, man, they grind a win against Cal, but just 14 points last night for their first win of the year.
Yeah, they're not going to be a factor in the ACC.
No, not even close. You can see it. I think Clemson and they get Clemson at home coming up. They're going to smoke them.
Yeah.
They have to go on the road to SMU, too, by the way.
And that's not an easy game. This is going to be, as far as the ACC is concerned, and remember, the reason why, you know, this is important is we talk about the top four conferences, right? Now the Power Four. It's not five because the Pac-12 doesn't exist. The winners of those conferences and their conference championship games get byes. They're automatically going to be, you know, in the college football playoff. And so that's why the winner of the ACC is going to be so important. If Miami's one of those teams, Mike, Who's to say that they're not going to have a chance to win the national championship? That's the thing.
Right.
We kind of dismiss the ACC until you say, wait a minute, what if that team is Miami, they're undefeated, and all of a sudden now they're one of those teams like Georgia or Texas or whoever it is from the SEC. It's more likely going to be Ohio State from the Big Ten is what we believe. Miami could really be in the hunt to maybe make a run at a national championship.
Miami plays Georgia Tech, the rematch from that amazing finish for Tech that was down at the Hard Rock.
That'll
be coming up. Tough loss for Brent Key and Tech. Carl and I were talking about it. Now, as you said, if you just look at the scoreboard, it looks like, you know, Louisville was in control. But there were moments, especially that blocked field goal. That one just changed the whole tenor of that game.
It did. I felt like Georgia Tech was going to make a run, and they're in scoring position. And they get this kick blocked, and then it's picked up, and it goes, you know, the other way for a touchdown. It was just a backbreaker, man. And that, to me, just took all the wind out of their sails.
Right.
And from that moment on, it wasn't the same Georgia Tech team. They just they I felt like, Mike, you felt like on the road, we were right there, and now we've got too much to overcome. So you got to regroup. You got two winnable games before you get Notre Dame at home, and I hope Brent Key gets them going.
Yeah, North Carolina, I know Mac Brown, they were saying, man, is he going to retire? Well, no, he's not going to retire.
He should. He
but
should.
They just got, I mean, that's embarrassing. 70 points, the most they've ever given up to James Madison.
Yeah, listen.
At home.
Mac is one of the most lovable figures in college football history. He will always be beloved at the University of Texas for winning a national championship. He goes back home to North Carolina, which is where he was before he took the job at Texas. And Mac is in his 70s now. We talk about
it's
age.
It's plateaued.
Well,
there.
But Mike, we talk about age discrimination, or you know, what's the limit? If you're an 80-year-old pilot, should you be working for American Airlines or Delta? Like, there's something to be said about, hey, you get to a point in coaching, are you still capable of, number one, relating to the kids, two, doing all the things necessary that these coaches have to do now? The game has changed. It's not the same. And I'm not saying that Mac Brown is not a great figurehead. But to lose like that, that's embarrassing.
The Buffalo NIU game, see that finish? That was another crazy one.
And then it was.
We mentioned it earlier for guys who missed our conversation at 3 o'clock. It's Dukes and Bell, guys, normally 2 to 7, Monday through Friday, special pre-game edition of Bus.
Did Sunday you say pre-pre?
Sunday Night Football here at the Nest on the fourth floor here at Signia. What an amazing hotel here on Northside, right across from the Benz. We're talking about Shedeur Sanders, and how about that Colorado team? And Deion gets to silence the critics for at least a week. That was an unbelievable finish.
Well, Baylor should have won the game. Their coverage at the end of this game, we talk about it all the time, right? Prevent.
How do you let a guy get behind you?
It beat you. And the brilliance of what they did for this Hail Mary, for those of you who have not seen this play, you will. It'll be top plays and all those things. They sent Travis Hunter, who arguably is the best player in college football, to the middle of the field. And they had three Baylor defenders around him because everybody in the building said they're going to throw the ball to Travis Hunter. And he throws it to the other receiver, Mike, who they didn't think he was going to go to. And they execute a Hail Mary that gets them an opportunity to win this football game. And Colorado pulls out one that they should not have won. I'll be honest with you. I think they were down 6.5 or whatever it was. And they come back out, and you're like, man, Baylor's doing everything right until the end of that game.
Meanwhile, today with the NFL scoreboard, we were talking about it. A great layout here at the Nest. They get their own version of like the Halo board like we have inside Mercedes-Benz.
It's sweet.
And we're watching the Chargers and the Steelers. Herbert was a concern. He just takes a sack, and he was a concern about his high ankle sprain. Good effort from Justin Fields, who's doing everything that Mike Tomlin and Arthur Smith are asking of him. And then on the flip side, the Eagles have had ample opportunities to be up about 14-3, and Jalen Hurts just keeps shooting them in the foot. And then Sirianni with some crazy play call. They go for a fourth down. And just should have taken the points. So the Eagles, Carl, you're right. Maybe we really tripped them up, man, on Monday night.
Crazy scores around the league. Minnesota's leading 21-0 on the Texans.
Oofa. That's at home. That's up in Minnesota.
It's in Minnesota. Tampa Bay's losing at home to Denver 20-7. Indy is up 7-3 on Chicago as we speak. And the Giants, Mike, are beating the Cleveland Browns 21-7 right now in the third quarter with about 10:45 to play. And Green Bay is rolling 27-7 against the Titans with 5:42 to play in the third quarter.
Matt LaFleur is a hell of a coach. You know, we could have had him as an OC.
Well, listen, you lose Jordan Love, and you won last week, and everybody kind of laughed and said, yeah, Malik Willis. Right. Now you're winning again this week. You are surviving without your quarterback. It speaks volumes about the coaching. All right, guys, we're coming back. Last hour of this pregame show. We'll talk some more NFL. Russell Baxter's going to join us as well. And I got something to tell you about what offensively we might try to do tonight.
What are you hearing?
Right there.
I want to hear what you're hearing.
I'm going to tell you.